Good morning.
Let's continue in worship with a time of prayer. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. For the sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. And so, dear God, we come and we worship and bow down. We kneel before you, our Lord and Maker. For you are our God, and we are the people of your pasture and the flock under your care. We depend on you for life, for sustenance, for purpose and fulfillment, for protection, for guidance. And as the Good Shepherd, you provide and you guide. And so we ask for your continued guidance for this church. Continue to lead the staff, the session, the presbytery engagement team, and the congregation as we seek your leading for the future of this church. Please continue to provide for the financial needs of this church as we seek to discern and fulfill your mission. We pray for this church during the summer. We pray for those who have traveled away from us this morning, that you would keep them safe and that you would remind them of your presence in a special way. We pray for those whose summer travels have brought them here with us this morning, or for those who are otherwise worshiping with us for some other reason. They have honored us with their presence, and we pray that you would grant that they would find whatever they came here seeking this morning. We pray for your servant, Rosalie Banta, as she brings your message to us. Anoint her with a special portion of your spirit. May the words she speaks be words from you. May the message we hear be the message from you. Like apples of gold in settings of silver, may these be words spoken at the right time to us. This is your world, Lord, and sometimes we don't understand it. There are wars we don't understand. There is senseless loss of human lives that we don't understand. We don't understand why passenger jets are blown out of the sky. We can't make sense of the conflict in Gaza. But we ask you to order this, your world. We ask you for peace. For so many of the complex issues in this world, there is no solution apart from Jesus. And so it is in his name that we pray, following the words that he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, starting at verse 26 through verse 45. Luke 1, 26 through 45. In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her.
Thank you, Dan. That was wonderful. As I mentioned, we're going to be talking about Timothy Keller's book and The Courage of Jesus. And if you have not yet read this book or had a chance to purchase it, I highly recommend it. It's a wonderful book, and I personally learned many exciting things about Jesus in this book. Really life-changing details about his life and his humanity became even more vibrant for me. So as we know from the reading, Mary has a supernatural experience in her very young life. She's visited by the angel Gabriel, and she's presented with the calling on her life. She fulfilled God's purpose for her life because she said yes to that calling. A calling can be an occupation, but it's more often something separate from that. So what is Tim Keller's point in this chapter of Encounters with Jesus, The Courage of Mary? He examines her response to God, and her response is how we see her courage. So in this Luke passage, we're going to look at three steps that Mary took and observe how she handled them and how we handle them. And those three steps are listening, trusting, and surrendering. These three things led to her courage and to her ability to be such a remarkable role model for us. So we will look at how these three things combined are related to God's call in Mary's life. He had a calling for Mary, and he has a calling for each one of us as well. Regardless of our gender, our age, or our stage in life, we all have a role to play in God's kingdom. It's important because you're important. You have a role. You have an assignment. Everyone who's alive is still on the payroll. So if you think that your assignment is over or that you failed an assignment or that God doesn't care, that's not true. If you feel as if you haven't heard from the Lord in a while, don't think he's lost your file. Now, Mary's call or her assignment was to be the mother of the Messiah, a very important role. And I believe we all have a calling, a mission in life, a purpose, an assignment from God. He created us uniquely for his glory and his purposes. And the last thing I want is for God to give my assignment to someone else because I didn't want to do it or I was scared I couldn't do it. So he's going to give you the courage and the strength as long as you're willing. We learn and grow through the assignments that God gives to us. Someone once said, God doesn't use people to get work done. He uses work to get people done. So today it is my hope that you'll walk away thinking about Mary's courage and where you might need to know that God has an assignment for you too. And along the way, I'm going to share some of my own experiences in these areas and some of my own confessions. So let's talk about listening first. How well does Mary listen? In this passage about the Annunciation, although the text doesn't say anything about the time of day or if others were present, I'm assuming that Gabriel caught her when she was alone. So let's presume there's not a big audience around. Now, who does most of the talking in this passage? Gabriel does most of the talking, which means that Mary's doing more of the listening. In the entire dialogue with Gabriel, she only speaks twice. Once is to ask a legitimate, clarifying question, how can that be, since I'm a virgin? And the second is to surrender. In verse 29, the Bible says that she wondered what sort of greeting the angel might be offering. The Greek word for wonder or ponder is dialogizomai. It means to reason, to consider. Mary is reasoning, she's deliberating. She's keeping quiet as she's thinking. So even though she's perplexed, she remains silent. She's quite understandably confused at this point, because in her culture, the linear route to take would be to get married, live together, have intercourse, become pregnant, and give birth in that order. But the point is that Mary listened really, really well. So how well do I listen? Now, I want to offer a word of warning as well about listening. It's important to be in tune with the Holy Spirit so that we know we are hearing Him and not listening to someone else. It's important that we not only know what is our calling, but what is not our calling, not what is not our assignment. And I can share a story that illustrates this. A number of years ago, I was a fairly new Christian, and a friend of mine was going on a mission trip to Hawaii, and she tried to talk me into going with her. She used language like, "You should really go. It'll be good for you. You need to do this." But I knew her well enough to know that I had to be very discerning, because she liked talking people into things. So I said that I would pray about it. And I went to bed one night after praying. I slept really, really well. And I awoke the next morning, and the first thing I knew was that I should not go on this trip with her. I was not supposed to go to Hawaii. So I went to bed a little confused and a little foggy, but I woke up the next morning with complete clarity. So that's how God speaks to me sometimes, often in dreams or when I'm asleep. The Holy Spirit comes to me. And I also asked Jesus once, "What is my mission?" And he responded, "Your mission is to help unloved people feel loved." And I asked him, "Well, who are the unloved people?" And he said, "The unloved people are the ones who don't know me." So for me, also, one of my burning passions is I really want to help people understand the greatness of God, to help them realize He has so much more to offer us than that we either decline or we don't know, we don't see. He has only the best for us, and yet we often settle for so little. I want to help people make wiser choices in life based on the knowledge that Jesus has only the best for us. He just planted that desire in me, so I feel called to do that as well. So that's my story about listening to God and the assignment that He has for me. So let's talk about you. How well do you listen? Listening is an art. Are you attentive when someone is needing to verbally process or just need some comfort? God uses other people to speak to us, just as He used Gabriel to speak to Mary. A concept I have learned recently is something called active listening. It means that we remain silent when someone is speaking to us, just like Mary did, and we do not think of how we will respond or a similar story that we want to share. We're not thinking about what we'll make for dinner or how the traffic will be on the way home. We're simply present with them, actively listening. I read an article years ago that said if doctors let their patients finish telling them their symptoms, the diagnosis would be very different. It would be much more accurate if they just listened better. But we especially need to listen to the Holy Spirit. I have a book that outlines something called centering prayer, which teaches me how to be quiet before God and wait in open attentiveness. That is something I need to improve, and I really want to improve. So how are you doing that? Are you listening? Are you participating in centering prayer? Does He speak to you in dreams or when you're awake? So let's talk about trusting. How well did Mary trust? Mary likely had a strong faith in God due to her quick decision. At the end of her visit with Gabriel, she says so beautifully, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Now she knew the name of the baby. She knew the gender. She knew that His kingdom would never end. She knew that the Holy Spirit had visited her so that the baby would be God's son. But Gabriel gave her just the big facts, the big picture. So what's he leaving out? He's leaving out all the details. He's not telling her any of those little details that we all love to know so much. He's not telling her what her life will be like. He's not telling her that she too will be delivered by this baby she will deliver. He doesn't tell her that her son will be adored by some and threatened by others. And finally, he doesn't tell her that she's going to watch him die. She's going to witness his death. But Mary, trust God because she knows him. You cannot trust someone's word that you don't know. So how well do I trust? Now, trusting isn't too difficult for me. I remember even as a child, always trusting that things would work out for the best, believing that every cloud had a silver lining. I didn't know how that would happen, but I just had a sense. Also, God blessed me with discernment, so that guides me in knowing who and what I can trust. I have such a deep love for God and know that he only wants what's best for us. In the Old Testament, I love reading all the many, many stories about God longing to have his people trust him and the blessings that he provided when they did. So how about you? How well do you trust? I love the song that we sung this morning, "For the Lord our God is able." God is with us. Have you seen God's hand in your life? Do you believe that he's fighting for you, that he's able, that he has your back? Do you have faith that he is plotting and scheming to bless you? Have you had ups and downs, but trust that God works for the good of those who love him, as we know from Romans 8:28? Has anything happened to cause a rift in that trust? If that is the case, I encourage you to put your hand back in his and continue on your journey. So finally, let's look at surrendering. How well does Mary surrender? It seems very clear that Mary has no trust issues. From what we read, her interaction with Gabriel is fairly brief, and then she announces, "I am the Lord's servant." She is fully on board with her call, with her assignment. At this point, after all of her thinking, her wondering, her doubting, Mary surrenders. Now, doubting, when did she doubt? The only time she doubted was when she said, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" So doubting is okay, but hopefully surrender will follow just as it did with Jesus. I'm sorry, with Mary. But Mary likely realized that if she believes in the God who created the world, who delivered her people from Egypt, and who protected them for centuries, why shouldn't he be able to do this as well? As Tim Keller says in Encounters with Jesus, when it comes to following him, the hardest thing is to give in. Mary gave in. She surrendered to God. So how well do I surrender? Now, I admit that surrendering is a bit challenging for me. Often in my life, I have felt like I'm kind of living life on my own, and it's really difficult for me to turn over the reins sometimes, even to God. Perhaps you can relate to that. I really struggled with this sermon this past week. Have you ever had that mental block where you're really frustrated, the words are not coming to you, and you know you have a deadline? But I believe that God opens our minds when we're in alignment with him. Because he doesn't care about deadlines. He doesn't care about time frames. He doesn't care about schedules. He cares about the condition of our heart and if we're leaning on him. So Wednesday night, I'm sharing my frustration with a friend on the phone. And she said to me, "Rosalie, you just need to surrender this to Jesus. You just need to give this to him and sit and be with him." So I did just that. I surrendered this to him. And as I'm praying, afterwards I'm thinking, and I said to him, "Your mom, as a teenager, was better at this than I am in middle age. She was so much better at surrender as a young person." So how about you? How well do you surrender? Do you surrender some things but not all things? Are you a generous, faithful tither but still have some bad habits or addictions? Are you available for God's call in your life? Do you have a sense that he has spoken to you about your assignment but have not yet accepted it or acted on it? Now, even though in Mary's case, the Bible seems to indicate there's a particular order listen, trust, surrender. I don't necessarily think that everything will occur perfectly in that order. God wired us each very differently. We have very different backgrounds, different stages of faith, and different stages in life. There is no perfect recipe for each of us to discover our call. Sometimes we may trust well, so surrender is easy, or perhaps surrendering is easy, it's not difficult for us, but we aren't sure if we're listening well or hearing him correctly. From my experience with Jesus, he's a gentleman. However we are wired, he will meet us there. But he's not going to force himself on us. He wants us to listen to him, to trust him, and to surrender to him. Now you may be asking yourself, how do I know what my assignment is? How do I know what God wants me to do? What is my mission? What is my role in the kingdom? But I also don't think we have to sit and wait for God to give us an assignment, wait for him to show up. We can examine ourselves, examine the ways that he made us. I think we can start with how he wired us. One of the expressions I like to use is, where's my sweet spot? I love that expression. As you may know, the term sweet spot is used in sports, and it means that is a spot on a racket, a club, or a bat where the ball is most effectively hit. It also means an optimum point or combination of factors or qualities. So I think our sweet spot is where we see a need in the world or in our city, on our street, and we have the ability to meet that need. We have the gift to meet that need as well. But we don't know until we try. Are you an extrovert who may be wired to teach large groups of people? Or are you an introvert who prefers one-on-ones with people? Ask other people what they see in you, what natural talents they observe, what personality characteristics or traits they notice that makes you different and unique. Ask if they notice times when you just seem to come alive, when you are joyful in serving. So get feedback. Get feedback. Ask people. Now, I want to share a special story with you as an example of someone who accepted an assignment from God. As you know, he often will give us an assignment that is related to an area where we have experienced pain or heartache. So I was privileged this week to have a recent conversation with Bruce Ramirez. You all know Bruce. About his years of service in the divorce recovery ministry at Menlo Park Presbyterian Church. He briefly shared with me how he first came to attend divorce recovery after his separation from his wife. And during the course of his recovery and involvement in the ministry, he came to realize how life-giving it was for him during that time in his life. And he served in that ministry for over 10 years on a weekly basis. He just absolutely loved it. He became very involved in leadership and has touched the lives of dozens and dozens of people who also experienced the breakup of their marriage. My point is that Bruce was not only a blessing to these people, but he was blessed beyond measure himself. He was right where God wanted him to be, and he knew it. Bruce was truly in his sweet spot. He really thrived in this assignment that God had given to him, and he continues to serve in that capacity here at West Valley today. So one final note that I want to offer about calling is this. It's important to realize that if God has a call on someone's life, which I believe he does for each of us, if God has wired them a certain way or given them a particular talent, we probably should not stand in his way. In other words, if he wired someone in a particular way to serve him and his kingdom for his purposes, we are in opposition to those purposes if we try to thwart his efforts. We can't really fight the way that God made people. Mary did not try to thwart God's efforts and make Jesus something that he was not. I'm sure she wanted to protect him like any mother would want to protect her son, but she let God have his way. So remember, listen, centering prayer if you need to sit quietly before God, ask him about your calling, talk to him, listen, and trust. Read all the scriptures that show God's faithfulness. Ask others to share their faith stories with you that have helped them, given them faith and confidence, trust in God. And then lastly, surrender. Ask God to help heal anything that may be hindering your surrendering to Him, anything that might be standing in your way of surrendering to Him. So listen, trust, surrender, but not necessarily in that order. So let me pray for all of us. Jesus, thank you so much for the many ways that you wired us so uniquely and differently for your glory, for your purposes. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us gifts and talents to help us further and advance your kingdom so that we can serve you perfectly. Help us, Lord, to listen, to trust, and surrender. We love you. We pray all these things in your precious name. Amen.
So our assignment for this week is to listen, trust, and surrender. And you can always ask, what would Bruce do in this situation? So now, hear these words. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.